Okay. Good morning. All right, you may be seated. Just for a short introduction here. I looked at Farshad and I said, Farshad, you're looking good. And then Afruz, good job. He's looking good. So when you see a husband and you say to a wife, you took care of him. It's good. Just this thought, you ever, and I'm sure all of us, we come across people that are going through situations and circumstances, right? And it may be difficult, it may be painful, but do you ever realize that maybe they're not getting what they need for their situation? In other words, they're going through something, but it's not meeting what they need. And we see this here in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is speaking to God's people, and he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people. And then he says this, slightly. What does the word slightly mean? A little bit, right? Like, just touching the surface. But there's an interesting comparison here. The hurt of the daughter of my people. Then it says slightly, and it says, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the verse 8:11 says the same thing. It says, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. And I was thinking about, I was reading in John 4, the woman at the well. And you know the story. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And just the Samaritans were, the background, they were half Jew, half Gentile. And just, you know, the hurt of being not fitting in, being rejected by both groups. Right? And the world comes in and says, you know, we will heal your hurt, but it's only slightly. Why? Because they really don't know where the pain lies. Right? You got a knee pain and they're giving you something for your elbow. It doesn't work that way. Right? And I love this in John 4 because she's at the well and Jesus is at the well. And she's there to draw water. But really, drawing water is only the cover for what her real need is. And we see that in this world. People are doing things, but it's only a cover for their real issue. Right? Because in this world, there is hurt, there is pain, there is sin. But only slightly is it dealt with. Here's another bottle. As we heard, like Wednesday night, the love of God. But the world there is no love of God, so they have to compromise and give you something else, thinking that hopefully it'll meet the needs. But what was so amazing in John 4, Jesus said to the woman, if you knew the gift of God. And that is amazing. Because each one of us in this church, we came in and we come in and there may be situations and circumstances that we are out of our control. We don't know why. We don't understand. And we're tired of the world's analysis and the world's counsel and the television shows and the music. Because it's not meeting the need. It's only touching it slightly. But then when we come to Jesus, it's beautiful. Right? He says, we learn to understand what the gift of God is and who it is who is speaking to us. A word behind of us that says, this is the way, walk you in it, when we turn to the right hand, to the left. And the most amazing thing in John 4 what happened with this woman is she goes from being consumed with her pain and her hurt to being a soul winner. It's awesome because she goes into the city and say, come see a man who told me everything about me. Is this not the Christ? And you say, like, what happened? Where's your hurt? Where's your pain? She said, I've met Jesus. I met Jesus. And it's no longer consuming me. He was able to go to the depth of my situation and bring in the depth of his healing. And now, I'm a missionary. And I love this because, you know, in this timing that we live in with the COVID-19 and situations and circumstances, yeah, there's a lot of hurt. But we, by the grace of God, know where the answer lies. Right? There is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. God with us. And this is amazing. So, you know, maybe you're here today and yeah, there is hurt. You're in a good place. You're not alone. You're with family. But the beautiful thing about it is Jesus is at your well. He's sitting there. He is not moved by your situation. And he has a provision for you. So just get to know him. Let him love you. Let him pour in the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are a glad people. We are a blessed people. We are your people. We are the people of God. Father, thank you this morning that we are here just so you would speak to us again, fresh. God, a word in season to he who is weary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this place. And Father, as we think about this morning, the offering, and as we give, Lord, we give out of an abundance, not out of a deficit. We're not giving to get something. We're giving because you've given us amazing provisions. You have spoken to us. You have quickened us. You have blessed us. You have healed our marriages, our families. Lord, you have done the impossible with us. And so out of fullness, we give to you so that others can get to receive the same provision that we've received. Father, bless this offering for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, great. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, please, to the first verse is Isaiah 55 and verse 8 for our message this morning. I'll share with you the outline of the message in a minute, and this will be the premise for the message, this principle, Isaiah 55, verse 8. Pastor Siraji mentioned this Friday night in the men's meeting. We had Friday night men's meeting at Donuts, and the donuts were of such high quality, they were amazing. They weighed about 3 pounds a piece. And the men, I mean, I never saw so many men excited about donuts. And we went out the door and we ate our donuts and had a great time and coffee. Pastor Jason put the program together. It was excellent. Pastor Dennis White gave a very good message. And from his message, I have this message. Part of my message is this principle, Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So as I listened to Pastor Dennis preach, I was thinking of like a little diagram to kind of represent what he was saying. So I came up with one. Yeah, and it's very simple. It's like, what does God think? What is God? Who is God? What does he think? And what does he do? His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So I could draw it like this, just a box like that. That represents God's thoughts and God's ways, God's character, God's nature. And then man thinking about God could be really thinking this way. This is God. He gets it wrong. You know, he gets it wrong. He doesn't understand. So that's what we're going to say today. That man needs help. That man left to himself, who does not know God, cannot know God, does not know God's ways, and he gets it wrong. You might say, I went to church today to realize how wrong I can get life, how wrong I can be about things, you know. So you might not like that, but Isaiah 1:5, the whole head is sick, the heart is faint. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that cannot be bound up or mollified with ointment. It's like what Pastor Eugene said, that my prophets are healing the hurt of my daughter Zion, slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. So, I think a big issue would be, who is God? Number one, like, who is God? Isn't that amazing? It was in the New Testament when Jesus was with his disciples when he said, who does the world say I am? And they said, Jeremiah, Elijah, some prophet. And then, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. That's how you know who I am, by my Father showing it to you. Left to yourself, you will not know who I am. So, it raises a number of questions in my mind. Go to the next verse, please. Proverbs 14. In verse 12, God is love. But does the world say God is love? No, they say the largest problem that people have regarding God is suffering. Why is there so much suffering? Our answer is, we don't know God's ways, nor do we know God's thoughts. Well, why is there suffering? Well, we're not saying it isn't a good question, but we're saying there's something behind in the whole thing that we don't understand. And when we look at life, we easily get it wrong. So this is 14:12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But I'm right. Well, let's see where you end up. The end result, well, we'll speak loudly about if I am right. Right, I mean, big picture, right. Like, did I get it right? When Christ came into the world, he understood and ministered to people knowing how wrong we can be. His own people did not receive him. Many times in the talk with them, Matthew 23, Matthew 12, Matthew 15, you see the contest that they were not receiving, could not understand, and they were fighting with him and actually hating him, and then ultimately destroying him because of what we're talking about here. So the second point of our outline is, let's make it this way. God is love. Do you see that? No. Help me. How can I see that God is love? God is love. Am I suffering? No, I don't see love in my suffering. God is love in my life. No, I don't understand that God is love. I do not see that and understand that. Why? Point number two. So we have number one, God is, who is God? Who is he? Number two, man. And one thing that we should understand about man is how wrong he can be. That's a good starting point. You see, we are a different kind of people because we have the Holy Spirit and the Bible is our teacher. And when the Bible is teaching me, I'm open to receive what God has to say about me. And when I am able to say I am wrong, or I do not understand, or help me, God, this is a great starting point. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Another way of saying that is admit that you need help to understand. Admit that you and I have a problem because oftentimes we get things wrong. Remember when the Jews came out of Egypt, they saw it. The Red Sea, they saw it. A wall of water on the right and on the left, the enemy behind them, and they walked through the Red Sea. They saw it. And for 3 days on the other side of the Red Sea, they were dancing and celebrating and singing that God had cast their enemies into the sea. This is in Exodus 15. And then what did they do? Well, Moses went to the mountain to get instructions. He was there 40 days. And what did they do? They made a golden calf and they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt, in Exodus 32. How could you be so wrong? Did a golden calf take you out of Egypt? There wasn't any golden calf when you left Egypt. Surely there was a golden calf in Egypt, for that was an Egyptian god. But when you left Egypt, there wasn't any golden calf that brought you out. But this is how wrong man can be. How we could get the Bible wrong. How we could misunderstand the church. How we can misunderstand God. How we can misunderstand people. You know, this is an important lesson for us. So humility and being able to see. But in our culture, and I mean that by the Western world, rarely it doesn't seem to me that people easily say, I could be wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I don't understand. Maybe I am wrong. It's usually, I am right. Usually, I know. Or I understand. Or we know better than our forefathers. That really bugs me. In the idea of evolution, the general idea is improvement. But the theory of evolution, well, first of all, it's like it's just a general idea that people have that is being propagated in our culture all the time. But is man actually improving? Not morally. It's worse, morally. What's happening? Is it pride? Is this the age of deception? Is it more and more like this that I think I know? Like, I know what Christianity is. I think I know what Christianity is, and I don't want it. Well, maybe you don't want it because you don't really know what it is. Maybe you don't know who God is. Maybe I don't want the church. Maybe you don't want the church because you don't know what the church is. How about Bible understanding? You don't know what Bible understanding is. You could read the Bible, but you don't know what it is that you're reading. Is this possible? Could you humble yourself? Could you seek? Could you ask questions? Are you looking? No, I already know. This is the idea. I already know. Now, I'm having a little difficulty with my message this morning. I'm going to stop right here because I'm not feeling the anointing like I normally do. So I'm going to ask you just to pray for a minute or two, okay, in your chair. And be humble before God and ask God to bless this meeting, okay? Father, we pray that you would make this message penetrate to our heart and spirit, and we would believe we need it and receive it. Lord, these thoughts for our edification, preparation for the future. In Christ's name, amen. Yeah, what I'm saying is preparation for the future. The times we are living in and what I need in order to suffer well. What I need in my general understanding of life. What I need to get it right. Not in the absolute sense of rightness, but in the sense that I need to realize some things that I haven't realized before. One of them is that I can be wrong. Anybody here, can you ever, you know, do you realize how wrong you can be? Yeah, you can. Ha. Do you realize that maybe when I am wrong and I realize how wrong I can be, I go to God and I ask God to help me? You know, do you, I'm sure you do that. Help me. Like, lead me, teach me how wrong I can be. Even if I know the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, and I know the Bible very well, but still I need the spirit of the Bible. I need to realize the nature of God, that God is love and who he is. Wednesday night's message was amazing. I highly recommend it for people to listen to it. It was a visitation of God in that message. And this one too. Praise God. Thank you for your love and your prayers. Man, number two. Number three is man suffering. There are Christians that don't believe that suffering is really a part of my life. That if I pray to God, that then I will not suffer, or I ask God and he'll deliver me from suffering. God could be to me, you know, the one, the loving Father that would never allow me to suffer or go through trouble. Not true. Suffering is part of life. John 16:33, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, tribulation, trouble. Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Like in a fire, the sparks go up, just naturally they go up with the heat, and so man is born, and the trouble comes. It's normal. It's having a mortal body. It's having a sin nature. It's having a child that has a sin nature, a husband or a wife that has a sin nature, a friend that has a sin nature, a church that has a sin nature, a boss that has a sin nature, a government of the United States of America governed by people that have a sin nature. Man is born unto trouble, and that trouble is ordained of God. This is his plan. The godly suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, they that are godly in Christ Jesus shall, not if they will, but they will be persecuted. The devil will put his eye, Job said, the devil has put his eye on me, and the arrows of the Almighty have poisoned my spirit, Job said. Pain and trouble in life. No, yes. That's his plan. That's his plan. Suffering. No. Yes. That's his plan. That's God's will. That's his plan. I avoid it as much as I can. I don't want it in my life. But it happens. It's part of my life. Well, what does it do for me? It does many things for me. Suffering draws me to God. It's a plan. It's the plan of God to use suffering to humble me and draw me to God. Hallelujah. Many times people say it's not his will, and if it is, I don't understand how that could be. I don't like it. God, I've got a problem with you. I got a problem with you. That's like the book of Job. In a way, that's very understandable. But there's another side to man, where man is capable, as a believer, he is capable of going to God and trusting God. Broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. Psalm 51:17. It's a work of grace. The person that explained this the best was the Apostle Paul. God said he had a lot of suffering in his life. Acts 9:16. Christ told him that he would suffer a lot. And the Apostle Paul did. Again, I don't want suffering. I don't like suffering. I want to know God without suffering. But it looks to me in the scripture that suffering is explained to us. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, like that the trial of your faith may be more precious than gold that perishes. But we are in a culture that gets a lot of things wrong, and that's why we as a people suffer. One of the reasons why. We are angry at God. There are people that don't believe in God. They're angry with God, and they get a lot of things wrong because they don't understand. But you and I are called to understand it and believe it. So that leads us to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12 for our main text here. And verse 5. I'm sorry, I think I will start in verse 5 is good. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Paul knew God so well that he understood that his infirmities were actually part of God's plan, and that Paul found Christ in his suffering and in his trouble. And verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. You know what is interesting? This little picture, this one. This one could be also about people or Paul. Paul is saying, people may not understand me as I really am. They might have an overinflated view of me because I'm an apostle. And God has used me in a great way. But they may misunderstand me. We do it in our world all the time. We have heroes, and celebrities are heroes, and people that are rich or famous or this kind of thing, and we have the wrong understanding of who they are. A basketball player, a professor, a teacher, a politician, any number of people that we could get wrong. And Paul said that God ordained for me to have trouble and to suffer and have my infirmities so that I would know him and I would process my pain through God and I would find God and glorify God. And people would see me not as some great big hero, like because of me, but they would see me as weak and infirm, and they would see God in me. This happened with Johnny Erickson Tada, the paraplegic who broke her neck diving into shallow water in the Chesapeake here in Maryland many years ago, which I'll read a little bit later. It happened, you might say, I would never want to be, nobody would ever in their rightful mind ever want to be paraplegic. But when you hear her, you see her life and how she lived, and you ask her the question, if you investigate it, you realize how wrong you can be. How wrong I can be, like in life. how wrong I can understand life in itself. Isn't it interesting? So go to the text here, but now I forbear some men think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. In verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, beat me. Buffeting means as in a beating, like with the fists, pounding on somebody, punching them, beating them. This is like what Paul is saying happened to him, that the messenger of Satan was pounding on me and buffeting me. Now, there are many things to say in speculation about what that specifically was in Paul's life, but it's not written there. But there are many things we could say about it, but I don't want to go there. I'd rather just make the point, Paul was feeling pain. He had a thorn in the flesh. He was impaled by it. Like, it's a strong word, I understand. There's a very strong, very painful buffeting that is happening to this man. And if we use this, this diagram is kind of a template for the principle, how easy I can misunderstand suffering. How easy I can look at it and say it's not right. How easy I could say, well, of course, we would all say, I don't want that to happen to me. But back up from the thing and understand something deeper in our message. And that is, God's ways are not man's ways. I would say many Christians think, I become a Christian, I have my Bible open, I learn the Bible, I say my prayers, I go to the church, and I live happily ever after. I marry Miss America. We have 14,000 children. All of them are honor students. And we own properties, and on it goes, and whatever you want to put in there. That's the idea of life for an American. That's a very common thing. Not suffering. Not suffering. But I want to say this. I want you to think with me about it. I want you to process it. And basically, I want to say this point number two here, and that is this one. Man needs help to understand. And generally, he is not saying, God, help me. Generally, he's not. But instead, he's saying, I got it. I got it. I got my education. I got my bank account. I got my beautiful wife. I got my little kid. I got it. I got it covered. I'm smart, you know. I got it together. You know, I'm really, I got it. I got it. I got this. You don't have it. Okay, it seems like you got it. But it's a blessing that you don't have it. It's a blessing that you need God. It's a blessing that you can say, help me, God. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Because we drift to idolatry and we drift to life without God. And we have these little gods around us that we handle, like the rabbit foot and the talisman around my neck and the special socks that I wore when I won the last game. And, you know, they're basketball players. They wear the same socks. You know, it's like a good luck thing or something. And many other things that we do in our hearts, because we don't have the authority of God, but we have ourselves and our gods or our way and our life. Then when the suffering comes, we say, how could that happen? Or why did that happen to me? Or now what do I do? Now what do I do? And this is the words from Paul. Follow it with me, verse 7. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Thank you, Lord. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, beat me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest anybody would think that I got this one. Lest anybody would think that, well, and that can happen to all of us here in this room. Because you look good, you got your life together, you got a nice car out in the parking lot, your family's beautiful and everything. Okay, we could exalt you above measure. But when the collapse comes, now we find out who God is, who you are, and we find out, well, those two things primarily. I want to see God now. I saw you, but now I'm looking for God. I saw you. I saw you live your life, but now I got to find God. I want to know God. Is God there? Is he there? And so go to verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I prayed to God three times that the thorn would depart from me. The pain would be gone. I prayed to God three times my son would come back home. It's a thorn in my side. My son left. My son, it's a thorn in my side that my son would come back home. I prayed three times that my son would get out of jail. It was a thorn in my side. I prayed three times for my wife. I prayed for my finances. I prayed for my boss. I prayed for, the terrible storms that I've been through as a person. I prayed three times. And I would expect God to answer that prayer and get rid of the thorn. But he didn't. What did he do? Verse 9. He said unto me, my grace. What? My grace is sufficient for thee. Means enough. My grace is what you really need. Is my grace. But no, Lord, I need the thorn removed. Well, the thorn is going to make you look bad, Paul. You got a thorn, you're kind of limping around in the life. But as you're limping, like your face is shining and people are seeing Christ. Your words are God is with me, or I'm comforted. It's not gone away, but God showed up. God is with me. How did God come and visit you? Because you are humble. It says, the humble, he gives greater grace to the humble. But he resists the proud. And sometimes when you suffer, that's what comes out, is the pride. Well, how could this happen to me? What happened to me? I am so angry with God. How could this be? I'm done with the whole thing. I'm finished. That's what comes out is me. My anger, my frustration, my disappointment. I thought God would do that. I am angry with God. I've met people. There was one man who was upset and very depressed, and he said he was angry with God. I said, why are you angry? He said, because my father died. And I said, well, how old was your father? He said, 93. What, did you? I don't get it, Like, what, he thought he was going to live forever or something? Or what happened? You didn't process that a long time ago? You didn't understand that people die? Like, what? I don't get it. No, God would keep him alive and alive and alive for me and for him. And I loved him and so on. It's like, well, That's maybe the point of this diagram here, this one. What world am I living in? What world am I living in? And could we say that to modern man today? In his arrogance and his understanding of the world. And that this little girl says that she's a boy, and a boy is saying he's a girl. It's like, what world are we living in? When we can't even, when we are not even processing the obvious things. What about the world where you and I are living in? Hey, when adultery is sin, it is sin. When lying is sin, it is sin. When pride is sin, it is sin. It is a poison. It is death. It is a sin. And yet the very fundamental things that are wrong are now being said they are right. Before you ever were to say that that is right, you better check it with God and be humble before God and hear what God says. Same, and this is for the church. I expect the world to be wrong, but I don't expect the church to be wrong. I mean, in those degrees, we are wrong and we are being checked. But here's one of those things we need to be checked on, and that is our suffering. Because he said it this way, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And by that I mean, I'm sure Paul means, I've been beat up, I feel very weak, I've been hurt, and in that hurtness, there's God's strength, God's visitation, God's peace, God's Spirit comforting me, His strength. And I'm shining. Many of you know Sky Zucker, who had years ago, I don't know, more than 30 years ago, had cancer in her jaw bone, one of the bones that made the jaw bone. And you know her as a amazing believer, and she had the surgery. And all her adult life that I've known her, she's been dealing with this thing, and she shines in her spirit and in her heart. And I talked to her this morning in the cafe. I'm so blessed by that person. She has enriched my life. That person is a testimony of God. Have you ever sat with a group of complaining, negative, hurting, wounded, troubled people that just can't find any satisfaction? I have. But have you ever sat with saints that know God and they're quiet and they just simply, the Spirit is with them and in them, and they simply know God? Yes, we have. And which glorifies God? This one, it doesn't. But this is what Paul is saying. Look at the end here. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And let's go to the fourth point here. Suffering, and then this ultimately glorify God. Suffering in your life is ordained by God to bring you to the knowledge of God, and in the knowledge of God, you end up, your life is like glorifying God. It's not like you're walking around on the planet saying, glory to God, glory to God. No, your life, as you are sleeping, your life is a testimony of God's reality, and it's saying to the world that God is real and God is here and God is enough, and your life is glorifying God. That's the end game. Is it easy? No, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's the way it is. That our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. His ways are different. His thoughts are different. But if we can learn to, like, actually labor in a good sense of heart and mind, laboring in understanding and believing this, then we will tap into it and find it to be real. And this is the Johnny Erickson Tada testimony that I have here. I do what wise Christians once did with me. This is her testimony. Back in the early 70s, when I was starting to take seriously Christ's lordship in my life, this is after her. She was 17 years old when she dove off a friend's boat in the Chesapeake. And her story is interesting. She, young girl, like athletic, attractive young teenager, and she had, the day before, bleached her hair like white blonde or something. When her sister was in the water, I think her sister was in already, but she dove in, broke her neck, and that was it. She's paralyzed. And her sister's in the water and looks around, and the flash of her hair color caught her sister's eye. And she grabbed her and pulled her up, saved her life. And Johnny Erickson Tada said, you know, if I had not bleached my hair the night before, it's for sure she wouldn't have seen me in the muddy water. But God saved my life. So here she says, in the 70s, I took Christ, started to take him seriously. My friends didn't merely tell me the biblical truth here. Believe this. Rejoice in your trial. It'll do you a world of good. Instead, they hooked up their spiritual veins to mine, pumping compassion into my wounded soul. Calm means with, passion means Christ's suffering. They literally were Christ with me in suffering. I wasn't their spiritual project. I was their friend. One night, a few Young Life friends who liked to sing picked me up for a late night drive into Baltimore City. We ended up downtown at the railway station, a massive structure with travertine floors, marble columns, vaulted ceilings. We found a corner and started harmonizing, our voices echoing throughout the station. An officious-looking guard approached and ordered us out of the building. See that no loitering sign? It's 11 p.m. and you kids don't belong here, he barked. Then he pointed at me. And you, put that wheelchair back where you found it, right now. But, sir, I insisted, it's mine. He told me not to give him any lip, to put it back right away. When our little group started laughing, he realized his error. And, you know, that was that she's paralyzed. That night when my friends got me home, one kneeled beside my chair. Johnny, that's the first time I've ever heard you call it my wheelchair. Thank you for doing that. You're helping me with my own problems, too. I had welcomed my trial as a friend, and it felt so good. I like that story just because it's not easy. But doesn't the Bible say, with God, all things are possible? Didn't he allow that woman to break her neck and her whole life to be paraplegic and to have a ministry worldwide to other people. I could never do that. That's the point. I could never do that. But God, I would say, she would say, it was through God that I could say, this is my wheelchair. This is my life. This is, you know, I'm embracing this. And that's what basically we need to work with. Let us humble ourselves before God and learn of Him and understand that suffering is part of life. We all have something: foreclosure, loss of job, sickness, disease, children, problems, marriage, problems, etc. Come on. Come on. Come on. I know that. We all have. I know. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying this is about God. Come on. This is about God. God will help us. God will fill us. And God will be glorified in it. Yeah. Amen. Would you pray with me? If you're here this morning and you need help in understanding this, welcome to the club. It's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. Nobody can master this overnight. It's our new life. It's another way. Help us, Lord Jesus, in it. Thank you. Maybe we don't know what our future holds in terms of the trouble and suffering that may be in front of us, but we know that your grace is sufficient. Yes, we do. We believe it. You want to say something in this troubled world, and say it through us. Thank you, God. We need the Bible. We need the doctrine. We need the Spirit. We need the church. We need each other. We need prayers. We need love. We need service. We need the oneness. We need the encouragement that comes only from you. Many ways and many expressions, we learn to walk with you. Thank you. And if you're coming to Jesus today, please come to Jesus as you are. And just come as you are and say to Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. Yes, Lord. I trust you. Save me. Save me. Take my sin away. Save me. Give me this new birth, this new life. In Jesus' name, amen.